On this Monday, December 12th, it is time for your KDNK local newscast. I'm Steve Cole, live at our Carbondale studios with News Director Gavin Dahl. Good morning again, Gavin.
Good morning, Steve. Carbondale's Planning Commission met on Thursday and approved a subdivision exemption for a parcel of land north of the Rio Grande Trail, east of Merrill Avenue. The commission also recommended approval of an amendment to the Unified Development Code that will allow drive-through banks and pharmacies in certain commercial zone districts. And the commission reviewed the town's new zoning district map, which includes no rezoning, just already established zone districts. The commission was reportedly pleased with the new map and has scheduled a public hearing on Thursday, January 12th, to consider official adoption of it. Late last week, Pitkin County announced the Colorado Department of Local Affairs will be kicking in a grant of almost $900,000 to build broadband infrastructure in rural parts of the county. Pitkin County will match the grant using tax money from a mill levy translator fund. The plan is to simultaneously develop a new digital public safety radio program and develop high-speed internet capacity in the Crystal River and Frying Pan River drainages, saving millions of dollars in the process by piggybacking both efforts, according to County Manager John Peacock. On Friday, I spoke to Bart Weller, a Marble resident who's part of the new Upper Crystal Broadband Coalition, along with representatives of Marble Charter School, the Italian-owned Yule Marble Quarry, and other residents.
One option we're looking at is a plan by Pitkin County and Gunnison County to relocate public safety communications tower that's near the summit of McClure Pass. And the reason for that relocation is to get it to a place where it would have power and fiber and also have line of sight into Marble so that we'd have one microwave link up to that tower. Since the tower has fiber, then we'd be able to hook in there as far as the backhaul to the internet.
So even if Gunnison County and Pitkin County and other stakeholders were open to the relocation of that public safety tower up on McClure Pass, you still have to deal with the Forest Service and then have to figure out how to actually get those fiber drops and wireless to the residents there. Isn't the population of Marble somewhere around 120?
Yes, within the city limits, there are more households in the valley. I'd say the total number of households in Marble and then along the valley, which is County Road 3, up to where it intersects with Highway 133. The estimate is about 250 households.
So even with 250 households, with the quarry, with the charter school, and potentially a couple of other places that might want to, you know, be a part of this infrastructure, what was your reaction when Pitkin County announced that they were thinking about including Marble in their plans?
Oh, we were surprised and we were very happy. We never expected to be included in their broadband strategic planning effort. I think their rationale is that the Crystal Valley is part of the Roaring Fork watershed. I think another consideration is that tower that's near McClure Pass, since that's in Gunnison County. That could be a very important component of Pitkin County's emergency communication services and broadband system.
Well, I know that you've been connecting with some really smart people on the West Slope who've done community broadband projects and co-ops. What's next for this new joint committee? And if folks listening to this in Redstone or Arbol are interested in getting more involved, how can they plug in?
Yeah, my email is bsandbakercw@sopris.net. I think we have a good chance of finally getting some broadband internet. The only access to the internet here is through satellite.
And what's the date on the next joint committee meeting?
That'll be on the 15th, and that'll be at the Marble Charter School. I believe that we set the time at 4:30 for that.
Great. Well, Bart Weller, resident of Marble, working on helping to bring people together to organize around new broadband efforts for the Valley. Thanks so much for speaking to KDNK.
Thank you. Happy to talk with you.
Kara Silbernagel, the analyst with Pitkin County KDNK spoke to a few months ago, who's leading the project, says residents in the Crystal River and the Frying Pan River drainages can look forward to broadband service sometime in 2018. U.S. Forest Service approval is still an obstacle, and construction likely won't begin until July 2017 due to lack of road access to the sites. Voters approved the county's legal right to develop infrastructure in a landslide ballot measure 1 year ago. On December 8th, the Bureau of Land Management sold oil and natural gas leases on 31 parcels of public lands in western Colorado during an online auction, netting close to $1.5 million. But Wilderness Workshop isn't sure that BLM's level of environmental analysis was good enough. KD&K's Amy Haddon Marsh spoke with Peter Hart, the group's attorney, to find out more.
Wilderness Workshop protested only 25 of these leases. Where were the leases that you protested?
So there were over 18,000 acres of leases that we protested in the Grand Junction and Colorado River Valley field offices. They stretched from north of Debeck down south into the Plateau Creek drainage. If you've ever driven from I-70 up towards Powderhorn ski area through that pretty canyon before you get to the town of Mesa, kind of all throughout there were parcels that the BLM sold.
Talk about the concerns you had.
Sure, I'd say broadly our concerns are two. The first concern is that BLM hasn't done adequate site-specific analysis of the parcels that it's just sold, which, you know, basically means they haven't adequately analyzed the potential impacts of oil and gas development on sensitive resources in areas where the leases were issued, things like sensitive plants, for example. And the second issue is about climate, and it's about the BLM's failure to adequately consider the potential climate impacts of selling new fossil fuel leases on public land.
Are your concerns, particularly about a lack of adequate analysis, is this reminiscent of the situation that we all just came through of these 65 illegally issued leases?
BLM just recently adopted the Forest Service's analysis of oil and gas leasing on the forest, and none of these parcels were on the forest. So in that sense, it's different. But I'd say, you know, broadly, it's about how adequate the BLM's environmental analysis was. And, you know, the problem, of course, with the 65 leases was that BLM hadn't done any environmental analysis. So generally, there are common themes there, although technically it's a sort of a different issue.
Did the online factor of this lease sale impact your protests or your involvement in it at all?
Not us. You know, we haven't ever done an active physical protest of an oil and gas lease sale. We have submitted formal protests in writing, you know, many times, and we probably will continue to do that. But you know, taking the lease sales online hasn't really affected that process, and it hasn't really affected our participation in it.
Now that the leases for these 31 parcels have been sold and the BLM denied your protest, what's next?
We are trying to make sure that the resources on the ground and the public resources are being adequately considered in these decision-making processes. And so that's why we engaged. That's why we filed the protest. That's why we're going to take a hard look at the response and make, you know, an informed decision about how best to proceed. And that may, you know, that may be a lawsuit or it may not be, depending on how well we think that the BLM's responses actually resolve, I guess, you know, our concerns and the issues that we've raised.
Well, Peter Hart, staff attorney for Wilderness Workshop, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Amy. Happy holidays.
That was Wilderness Workshop staff attorney Peter Hart talking with reporter Amy Haddon Marsh. For KD&K News, I'm Gavin Dahl.
A lawsuit challenging the state's Electoral College will be heard in federal court today. Bente Berkland has more.
Two members of Colorado's Electoral College have filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court, arguing that they should not be forced to rubber stamp a vote for Hillary Clinton just because she won the popular vote in Colorado. The state is one of 29 that bind electors to the winner of the popular vote. The lawsuit's goal is to undermine laws in other states and encourage electors to select someone other than Donald Trump for president. Members of the Electoral College will vote for president on December 19th. In Colorado, it's a misdemeanor to vote for a person who didn't win the popular vote. I'm Bente Berkland.
A reminder that until 5 p.m. today, Grand Avenue Bridge Crews and Black Hills Energy will replace the city of Glenwood's temporary gas line and install a permanent line on 7th Street. During this time, there will be several gas line tests and gas odors are possible downtown. City of Glenwood Springs Fire Department and City Dispatch have been notified. And Black Hills Energy techs will be in the area to field calls. If you smell gas in downtown Glenwood today, you can report it by calling the GAB public info line at 970-618-9897. Wednesday through Friday this week, anticipate daytime traffic impacts on Midland Avenue in Glenwood. Lane closures are expected to last all day for work on a new pedestrian bridge. Consider 8th Street, 27th Street, and Grand Avenue as alternate routes, according to the city. The 14th Street pedestrian bridge will provide residents of neighborhoods across the river with a safe, efficient, and ADA accessible bike and pedestrian crossing during and after the Grand Avenue bridge detour.